So Joel showed his stomach, and I'll go ahead and look at what I get to sport for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. You got your little heart monitor.
Whee. Yeah, I get to sport the heart monitor for 2 weeks. That's fun.
Do you and Anna take turns trying to see if you can make the monitor go higher?
Well, the thing is I don't feel anything on it, but I know what you're saying.
You know exactly what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Do you get to participate? Is what yes, I'm asking.
Correct. Like he told me that he wants my daily routine to not change. So, but then I have a handy dandy little notebook. I have a handy dandy little notebook here that anytime I feel a symptom, there's a button on it that I have to press the button and then write down what I'm feeling at what time and what I was doing. I have a feeling there's a few times where I'm not going to write down what I was doing.
Participate on a daily basis.
Yes. I ran out of lube and it hurt.
I can see the doctor being like, so why
Anna said she wanted to try something.
He's gonna be like,
when I logged on, that was gonna be the first word out of my mouth. It was like lube.
But it's like I can see them asking. They're gonna be like, so at 11 p.m. every single night, why did the numbers spike? I mean, like, I don't know.
Why do you think?
I have no idea. It's because I was watching Yellowstone every night.
It was a season 5 premiere on Netflix of Better Call Saul. I got really excited.
Kevin Costner in the cowboy hat just has that effect on me, I guess.
Do you like that show?
Dude,
I hear it's really good.
That show.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I love it almost as I love our show.
Almost.
Look at you.
Hey, so before we get started, I have to tell you it is actually a quick story. So you sent that song out, Fisher.
Yeah.
And so I listened to it over my phone and I was like, okay. And then I listened to it on Sunday morning as I was going to church. And Arlen goes, what is this? I said, oh, it's a song Fisher wanted us to check out. She goes, huh. She said, does he like it? I go, yeah, I think he does. I think he likes it. She goes, man, marriage really has changed him.
Yeah.
I was like, facts.
No, not really. I've had to adopt this policy at the restaurant where I DJ on Friday and Saturday nights that if it has no discernible melody, I'm not going to play it. Right. So when somebody comes up and they're like, hey, I want you to play this song, gets requested all the time. Thinking with my dick. Have you heard that song?
No.
Okay. And so the first time I pull it up on iTunes and I listen to it before I, you know, buy it to play,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, no, I'm not playing that. Mm-hmm. One, it violates every policy I have of playing obscene music in a public place.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's like every other R&B rap song that's come out in the last 5 to 10 years. Right. It's just there's no melody to it. And so when someone, it was like 2 months, 2 or 3 months ago, someone came up and asked for that Usher song. And I listened to it. And the reason I asked, like, do you know what song he sampled? And I was thinking about it. It's not really the drum. It's not a sample. It's the drum, but it's not so much a sample. It's the melody that he sings.
No, like, really.
It sounds to my ears, it sounds very familiar. Something that could have easily been an early to mid 90s hip hop song, right?
Yeah.
But there's quite a few things by Usher that I like because the man has undeniable talent.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. And so that's why I like that song. It's got a catchy beat. It's got a really catchy hook. I mean, it's a good, I wouldn't just say R&B song. I think it's a good pop song. So, but speaking of music, I'm excited about tonight's first listen.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I have a great first listen for next week too. So
word.
Sweet.
So, good stuff. I've been, I listened to a song the other day and I was like, that really needs to be a first listen, even though we probably have all heard it. So,
well, you know, but our last few first listens have been.
Yeah. Well, and you may not have heard it. That's the thing. Like, I know it's a song or a band. You at least know the band, but you may not know the song. So,
all right, well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Jam in on the one. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the UNT3 podcast, the podcast that brings you all music all the time. We're three best friends. Anytime we get together, all we do is talk music. We argue, we fight, we love each other, we cry, we laugh, we do all of it music. And most of the time, these guys are right, but sometimes they're not. Just saying. But if you're new here, welcome. If you like music, you're in the right place. If you just stumbled across this because you were searching for something and we pulled up, just listen for a few minutes. All right. And if you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button, hit the notifications, tell your friends about us, and let's just dive just right in.
Two friends.
I mean, we're not asking for your whole address book here.
I mean, even Ryan has two friends.
Your whole I know they're both sitting right here. So if you've been watching or listening for the last couple weeks, what we've been doing is we've been going through a list.
I'm interested this week.
And these guys are picking what house they want to be in. We did an 80s list, and we all moved into the same house on the 80s list.
Yeah.
Well, last episode, we did the 90s. Mm. That's where we're at right now. And we all came to the agreement last week that we were going to be in house one.
That one hurt, though. I'm just saying.
House one consists of Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Smashing Pumpkins, Alice in Chains, and Hole. They had a tough time with this one. For me, it wasn't difficult. I was in house one the way it is. Now, tonight, we're going to see if I can get them to move from house one into house three. I don't think that's going to happen. But there are some heavy hitters in house three. There are. You'll understand what I'm talking about when I play them. So we're going to jump right in. I have a feeling this first song, as soon as I hit play, Fisher's going to say, nope, already not moving into this house.
Right on.
So, but again, in their own right, these are heavy hitters, this whole house.
But you know what? Fisher may surprise you.
He will not. I'm going to say it right now. If Fisher moves into house three, and you can't do it just because I'm going to say this, but if Fisher moves into house three, then I'll do something embarrassing of your choosing, Joel. I don't care. But no, you can't move to house three just because I said that.
I think we need a veto. So if he does it like we think it's on purpose, he just has to move into the house number one. So.
And so, but I promise you.
It just depends on what kind of heavy hitters we're talking about.
You'll understand what I'm talking about when they get played. First song, here we go.
Definitely not moving to this house.
I told you. All right, so first artist is Backstreet Boys.
Let me guess, the next one's NSYNC?
You're just going to have to wait and see here, dude. Like, let me get the next song.
Let's just say these lists have been a lot better. And you
so
know what?
Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Oh, so y'all are trying to guess this list, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, it's probably boy bands. I bet it's all boy bands.
If it follows suit to the last two houses, it's going to be something similar to what.
No,
we
it'll be all boy off. Bands, like 98 Degrees, all well, those let's, guys.
You know
Jessica
what? Damn
Simpson,
it.
Yo.
Let's just see.
Okay. I tell you, Fisher would have moved to the house, and I literally was thinking this in my head. if you played Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, he would have jumped ship and he'd be in seat number three in house number.
No way.
No.
Because he loves his Christmas.
I
mean,
I don't. I do love my Christmas.
Christmas.
But I don't care what that list that we went over at Christmas says. That is not the number one Christmas song of all time.
It is.
I mean, it might be the most purchased. I'll give them that. But
yeah. But it is it is Christmas music, which is what you prefer.
So for those of y'all listening, we had Backstreet Boys, and that was Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Now, again, Mariah Carey's a heavy hitter. She was huge in the 90s.
Mm. Yeah.
In her own right, that's a heavy hitter. All right.
I'm going to be disappointed if Janet Jackson's not in this list.
Get ready.
Get your popcorn.
Get it.
Man.
Ace of Base, baby.
Ace of Base, man. Ace of Base.
They were everywhere.
Dude, All That She Wants is another bass. Another baby. Dude, that song, I don't care who you are, that's a killer song. And you know, they sold more songs. They're bigger than ABBA as far as songs sold.
Maybe as far as songs sold, but bigger than ABBA.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, not
ABBA just put out a record.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Ace of Base, actually, if I remember correctly, they sold more albums than
yeah, but ABBA did. As far as cultural impact,
is 100%, 100%. I don't care. You put either one on the dance floor, people are dancing.
And the reason that he brought up ABBA is because they're from the same country.
They are. That's 100%. Man, look at you.
So we've got Backstreet, Mariah Carey, and Ace of Base.
I don't know why Backstreet's on this list right now.
Probably because they all recorded at the same studio in Sweden when they first started out.
All right, here we go. The fourth artist in House 3.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yes, there she is.
There she is. But that totally knocks my logic out because he did not record there.
Dude, I might switch houses just for her.
We'll have a good time.
So I had the biggest crush on Janet Jackson.
Oh man, this album.
And then when that album came out, like, was it?
Rhythm Nathan, Rhythm Nation, 18.
Rhythm Nathan,
Rhythm
Nathan.
Well, that one came off Rhythm Nation, but the one after it was the song that If was on, or the album that If was on with.
Oh, that's a great It's the Janet album.
Posing like this.
Yeah, the Janet album.
Yeah.
Bought it at a mall in San Antonio, Texas.
There you go.
So, man, I'm telling you. My
girlfriend's parents were not happy.
I mean, you wouldn't think, like, but these are heavy hitters on this list.
Yeah. They are.
Like legit, like, heavy hitters. Now, the next one.
It is a little bit of a weird grouping, though. I will say that. To me, it's a little weird. The other ones seem more together.
Sure. But. Sure. Well, let's get to artist number five in this house.
Okay.
Here we go. This group was everywhere. And I played the ever-loving crap out of this at the skating rink.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh
man.
Let me tell you, the amount of ladies that come into the restaurant on a Friday and Saturday night that are in their late 20s, early 30s, that ask for that specific song is just, and it's usually after they've already been out, because the restaurant I DJ at, we stay open till 2 a.m. on every night, really. But they'll come in around midnight 30, 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Little spiced up.
Little spiced up. Want to hear the Spice Girls.
Hey.
Dude, I DJ'd a wedding not too long ago, and that's all they wanted to hear was basically stuff that would come out of this house.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I'm about to play.
I'm scratching my head as to why the Backstreet Boys are on this list.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's a little weird.
Okay, so for me, The last artist that I'm about to play, this is the one for me. I'm like, really? Okay. Why is this one in this house? Okay. Now, y'all might be able to tell me why. I don't know.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
But here we go.
Tell me why.
Oh.
What? I mean, really, his only big hit.
That's not his only big hit.
He had Crazy. I know he had Crazy.
That was just as big.
But you ask any passerby on the street, what song do you know by Seal? Kiss from a Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Ask
anybody who Seal is, and they're going to say Heidi Klum's ex-husband. They're not going to remember his music career. Come on.
I agree. What the hell is he doing on this list?
Yeah, that. So for me, that one, I'm like, why is Seal in this house? So Backstreet Boys, Mariah Carey, Ace of Base, Janet Jackson, Spice Girls, and Seal.
I would say of everybody in this house, your three biggest hitters don't belong in this list. I don't think Mariah Carey belongs in this house. I don't think Janet belongs in this house, and I don't think Seal belongs in this house. I think they should be in a separate house, obviously.
Yeah.
Because when you lead off with Backstreet Boys, I mean,
I'm going boy bands.
Right. It's boy bands or pop from the late 90s, right? Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. You're either going to Mickey Mouse Club, or you're going just straight boy bands.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Right. Things like that. What's her name? Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
Right. Acts like that. I don't think. See, if I was doing the houses, Mariah Carey, Janet, and Seal would be in a house with Destiny's Child. And I mean, you could make an argument that Destiny's Child could be in this house too. But. Oh my God. Why is that group slipping my mind? Oh, well.
TLC.
Well, TLC, they would be in a house with Destiny's Child. I wouldn't put them in a house with Mariah or Janet or Seal.
But of this house, I think this is the million-dollar question, which we all know the answer to. Are y'all leaving house one to go to house three?
Nope. Mm-mm.
I didn't think you would.
I wouldn't even leave house two to go to house three.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, but I will tell you, this list to me is a lot. I mean, yeah, there's some question
this
marks.
This house feels a lot like a house that we heard in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 80s list, right? But for me, I mean, I think that, I mean, these have all been tightly contested. I mean, last week was hard, and this week, not difficult. For me, it is. It's more difficult because I love
fancy himself from the hood.
Well, no, I do like Janet. Trust me, I do like Backstreet Boys.
We have not gotten to the hood houses yet.
Well, but I mean, I like Janet. I like Janet. I love Backstreet Boys. I mean, there's a lot of bands there, or musical people that I enjoy, but I'm sticking to, I mean, the foundation of what I did in high school, all the way through my first few years of college, it was all based off of house one. So
yeah.
I got to stick with house one.
So I guess my question is, who's the biggest hitter out of house three?
For the biggest hitter, I think for me, it's Janet Jackson. I think
that's who I was thinking. That
Jackson. For me, it's her first, and then it's Backstreet Boys second.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see next week what y'all do with house four, because house four is going to be kind of fun. We have six houses left, so this is going to be cool. I think maybe house four might be a little bit more difficult for y'all to decide on. I really do. I'm not going to give you any more than that, though. So with that being said, I gave y'all the choice today whether y'all wanted to go solo artist, or whether y'all wanted to go with a group that had a female lead singer. And y'all chose the latter. Y'all chose the female lead singer of a group. So we're going to jump right in. And this group is from Anaheim, California, formed in 1986.
Oh, I know who this is.
No Doubt.
Yep. How many times did we listen to this?
Oh, hang on.
How many times did you make us listen to this?
Oh, shut your face. You loved it.
So what I'm going to do real quick.
And every time we heard that song, he was like, and that snare hit. Bam.
Man. Hang on. I've got to play one of my favorite parts from the whole song real quick.
I think I just. we'll see.
And it might be what you just talked about.
This is one of them. I don't care who you are. So this is not a lie. Three, four days ago, I was on a date and I literally played this song and I covered. I know. I found another one that actually would go out with me. It's amazing.
Man, you're about burning through them all.
I know, man. I've gone through. I'm going to start having to date dudes after this. But I played this song and I literally did this. And while I did it, she looked at me and she's just like, okay.
That means you don't get a second date.
Oh, no. I
don't know, dude. I don't know.
No, okay. I did. I did have a second and third.
This is going to become the Delilah show.
I was going to say it turned into Little Bow Wow, you know?
Let's talk about it, Joel.
You know what I'm saying?
How was date number four?
She tolerated me.
Have you had any sleepovers yet?
My second date was when I actually ripped the tendons in my leg. And by the end of the night, I was shuffling around like an old man because I didn't have a boot yet. Oh, it was terrible.
I thought you were going to say the second date is when I ripped ass in front of her for the first time. I was like, that's how quick.
Okay, you guys have known me for how long? You know that's not going to happen. Anyway.
I put nothing past you from here on out. With as gray as your hair is, you could have thrown everything out the window.
So anyway, as I was saying,
No, hold on. We're just not going to burn past this. How many dates have you been on with this young lady?
Many, many dates. Many dates.
And this woman's name is?
I will protect her.
You can just give a first name. You don't have to get a last name.
Her name is Christy.
There you go. Okay. That's
older or younger?
She is younger. So,
all right.
Freaking pedo.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you. But is she over 40?
No, actually, she's not. She's under 40.
Is she over 30?
She is over 30, yes.
Okay. She's over 35.
Barely, yes.
You pedo, son of a bitch.
Hey, man. Don't hate the player.
No, you do what you got to do.
Hey, you know what? She's amazing. So
I can't even hate the game. So,
well, there you go. Thanks, man.
He's living the dream.
Hey, do your thing. For those of y'all listening, the feature artist, if you haven't heard, is No Doubt. All right. They have, where'd it go? I got my notes all right here. So 33 million records sold worldwide. Okay. They've got two Grammys, both for best pop performance by a duo or a group with a vocal. Their members are Gwen Stefani on vocals, Tom Dumont on guitar, Tony, I don't know how to say his last name, Canal.
That's pretty close.
On bass, and then Adrian Young on the drums.
They've self-taught, by the way.
Nice. 6 studio albums, 5 compilation albums, 3 video albums, 22 singles and 5 promotional singles. And they have numerous, there were so many, I wasn't going to list them all, but they have numerous MTV awards, VH1 awards, Billboard awards, Teen Choice awards, and so many others that we could spend the next 2 hours going over. But this is an award-winning group. that was huge when they were in their heyday. Like they were everywhere. And so
100%. And I mean, at the time they came out, they weren't like anybody. I mean, there was kind of a ska movement, kind of a punk movement.
Yeah,
and especially with a female singer. I mean, you know, I remember
first started when they first started, her brother was in the band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like a true ska band. Like,
yeah. Their first album is not as good as Tragic Kingdom. Yeah.
This is the song that put him in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't get away from this song if you tried.
Yeah. Well, and then once everybody found out what it was about, it made it even bigger than it was just the song, you know? But I mean, I remember the first song I heard was I'm Just a Girl. And I remember going, what the heck is this? And I just remember the part where she's singing and she's doing the push-ups. And I was like, it was great, you know? And
she was, for the longest time, she was my number one crush.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then she had to go and ruin the band by doing a solo career.
This intro, like, I love it.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. He's an underrated drummer.
Really, he is.
Really, the whole band is individually, they're underrated, I would say.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and Tony still produces.
They're all very solid players.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in it's so good. And, you know, they came out, they were unlike anybody else. And even as they evolved in kind of the more of a support group for Gwen Stefani to kind of do what she was doing. Mm-hmm. Like they always sounded like themselves, which I thought was, even when they went kind of a little bit more pop before she went and did her solo stuff.
Yeah.
It always still sounded like No Doubt, which is, I mean, that's gotta be pretty hard to do because some of their stuff got really polished. I don't, there's one song where she's
play you
a wedding dress and she's, I mean, it's super poppy, but it's,
I'll play you one
like
real
them.
Quick.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great track too, man.
See, for me, this kind of got away from that, like, ska thing, like that whole ska reggae thing.
The undertones are there, right? Listen to what the guitar player does.
Yeah.
Right here. Dun, 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 dun.
And the bass tone, I mean, it's straight out of reggae.
I mean, it's still
which is what ska's based off of.
They've got the feel, right? Yeah. They've got the feel, but I'll be honest, I like most of the stuff off of that album more than I do some of their bigger hits, if you will. I mean, because not that that wasn't a big hit, because that was a pretty big hit.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. I'm Just a Girl or Don't Speak or even Spiderwebs, right?
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that one because that was the next one up where.
You see that? It's got the horns that you associate with ska. I mean, listen to that bass line.
This is a song that sounds like it would be on like a movie soundtrack from like 2001.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's crazy is that little guitar part he does in that first part, totally, like to me, it's just straight like metal. I just hear like 80s metal, the pinch harmonics, just like Pantera and stuff. So they're just such a weird mix of music and it just works, you know?
Yeah.
So man, this is a great, featured artist.
Yeah. Hey. You know, like I said, I've had a list of a ton, and they, for the last couple of weeks, I'm like, do we do No Doubt yet? Do we do No Doubt? And then finally I was like, I'm just gonna let them, you know, let's see what they want to do. And so, yeah, No Doubt. So the one No Doubt moment that I remember, I believe Christian and I were at a Dallas Stars game.
Okay.
I think it's where we were. And
don't get me to lie.
Or it might have been a Dallas Mavericks game. We were in the American Airlines Center. And I think 1 second of a No Doubt song came on. Like the DJ or whatever working the arena. There was literally 1 second. It was like one note. And I said, oh, that was No Doubt in this. And Fisher went,
yeah,
you're right. That was, holy crap. Like, how did you get that off of 1 second? But
I remember that. I do think it was a Stars game. It was a Stars game.
Got it. Yeah, man. Dude, No Doubt is one of those groups that for me, I won't go seek them out. But man, if their songs come on, I have to listen.
Yeah.
And then I go down a rabbit hole and I'm like, okay, let's listen to them a little bit more.
Yeah, it's funny. I just kind of pulled up some of their stuff just to kind of remind my mind of some of the songs. So are you going to play Ex-Girlfriend? Because that's a great song too.
I can. Watch this. I can. Right here.
I mean, that had to be hard to be the bass player looking at the lead singer knowing she's singing these songs about you. And then can you play the one that's right after that? I think that's the
Simple
one.
Kind of Life.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I think that's the one that's like real like poppy compared to some of the other stuff.
I got you. Here.
Oh, yeah.
This was the one album by them that everybody was like,
they kind of were upset.
And I think this is a great album.
I think it's a great follow-up to the one before that, which is technically their second album, but it's the first really big one.
Yeah, this is the follow-up to Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Listen to that bass line. Yeah, hit it with that sexy fade. Right on.
There you go.
That album is, I think, gets crapped on unfairly.
Yeah.
I remember when Tragic Kingdom came out, and the girlfriend I had at the time, we were at some church function at her church, and we were all hanging out with like her older sister and her older sister's friends, and one of her older sister's friends was a big No Doubt fan.
Yeah.
And she was even crapping on Tragic Kingdom because she thought, you know, oh, they sold out and it's nothing like their first album. And then when that album came out, Return of Saturn?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I'm done with this band.
Hmm.
They've betrayed everything that, you know, she considered herself an original fan. A lot like what, like Metallica fans, when they put out the Black Album, they were like, oh, you know, they sold out. Well, they were calling them sellouts for Ride the Lightning too. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you know, it's just, And I remember thinking, that's a really good album. I don't know why you're crapping on it, just because it's not ska from beginning to end. And I mean, it's a really good, it's a pop album. It's really good. And it's a really good pop album. Right.
Yeah. Like, well, anyone that can take that genre and make it sound unique to that genre, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, all that stuff. It's great pop music, but does it really sound any different than really any other pop? Really, it doesn't. They just happen to hit at the right time. But something like this, or like a band like Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains or some of those other bands, yeah, they were rock, or in this case, pop. But they, when you hear Nirvana or you hear Pearl Jam or any of those other bands, they sound like themselves, even though they're rooted in that style of music. So,
well, yeah, what I love about, I can't believe I'm going to say this, one of the things I love about Nirvana is how much they, and when I say they, I mean all three of them, Dave, Novoselic, and
Dave Grohl.
I just said Dave.
Dave Grohl.
Kurt Cobain.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Cobain. Sorry.
I said Dave first.
Oh, sorry.
They're all huge Beatles fans. And if you really listen to what they're doing, you can hear the Beatles influence on Kurt's songwriting, right?
Yeah, well, the melodies, so, I mean, his music, unlike other punk music, is singable. I mean,
right.
It's melodic. It's kind of like the same thing Green Day got, where they had these melodic punk songs and they're like, you're not punk. It's like, we can still sing. I mean, we can have melodies. It's okay. Right. You know?
There's nothing wrong with melodies.
There's nothing wrong with it. But I also like when you play the Germs. Like, I like the Germs. I like the Sex Pistols. I like bands like that too. But, you know, it's okay to have melodies as well. So
well, here's the, if not the greatest punk bands of all time, The Clash.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had melodies.
Mm-hmm. Simple, but they are simple, but they were good melodies. So
here's the question with No Doubt and Gwen Stefani, because she went on to have a decent solo career. Would you say, and this is speculation, right? But would you say that she just used No Doubt as her stepping stone to get where she wanted to be?
No.
Or
she didn't even know she was going to be as big as she was. She realized much later.
I think the opportunity presented itself to become a solo artist, and she took it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't hate her for it. Like, she saw an avenue that she wanted to pursue, and she pursued it. But, I mean, they put out a couple of singles even after she started her solo career. I mean, they did a few things post her solo career, but
yeah. And they still play. I mean, they still do, you know, little tours here and there, but I mean, the thing is there's this innate understanding that having a band as a band is one thing. Like, you look at like bands that are together, some of them have broken up only because things happen, but like, for most bands, when they get together, they realize that's lightning in a bottle and it's hard to catch it. That's why you don't outside of that environment. So you'll never see a James Hetfield solo album. I mean, you'll see a couple songs here and there, but Metallica is his vehicle. You know, but you do have the rare exceptions like Gwen Stefani, where, you know, she took a risk. She put out a single. The single blew up.
Yeah.
So then she recorded an album and that album blew up, and I believe she has three albums, if I remember correctly, total. You know, she just was able to take the vehicle that she got, that got her there, and kind of make a little bit of a left shift. And
and she's gone on to, you know, other like she's.
I like her solo albums.
I don't know if she's on The Voice anymore, but she was on it for a while. I mean, like, other things have presented itself for her to, and it's just like, No Doubt was like a chapter in her book, right? And
yeah.
That chapter is over, and it sucks for the rest of the guys because, you know.
But they're all doing their own thing too. It's just behind.
Right. It's behind the scenes. It's not. And that's the danger of having a charismatic front person, whether it's a man or a woman, right? Like, because they are the face of the band. They are the people. They're the ones that radio stations and magazines and websites and whatnot want to talk to and interview.
Yeah.
Right. They're the ones that the kids want want
the autographs.
Autographs.
Yeah.
From,
yeah.
Right. And then they begin to, opportunities begin to be placed before them. Hey, you know, you can go do this. You don't really need them to do this.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
The other guys get left, and like you said, the bass player is still producing, right? Which is no simple task in and of itself.
Yeah.
I don't know what the drummer and the guitar player are doing. I would imagine something similar.
Yeah. Probably so. But you're 100% right. Actually, I saw an interview with Billy Corgan on the Joe Rogan podcast. By the way, I'm not saying I endorse Joe Rogan, but
I do.
And that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, it was an interesting interview, and he talks about the original formation of Smashing Pumpkins. And there comes a point where they stop being yes people in the sense of keeping the group together, but they see opportunities to tear it apart, thinking that they can make more money or this or that. And, you know, he'll tell you, like, he realizes it now. And if you know anything about Billy Corgan, he doesn't really apologize for much. He's very much in the moment, and he doesn't really apologize here, but he says he recognizes now what he had and what tore the band apart.
Yeah,
which was outside forces.
Well, and he talks about when they first got signed, their original manager was like, okay, you have to make a decision now. Your songwriting credits, are they going to be Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah.
Where everybody gets an equal share of the songwriting credit, or is it going to be Billy Corgan? Because if it's you, just know that
over they're going to resent you.
It's going to build resentment.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. He was, because of those outside forces going, well, you're the songwriter. You're the face. So you can replace those, and it's still Smashing Pumpkins because it's you. Right. And when they got together to do that anniversary tour or that comeback tour minus Darcy.
Yeah.
Darcy. And there's two sides to why Darcy didn't come back.
Yeah.
But, you know, he talks about that at length about, you know, because I remember it was a Sirius XM interview. They're talking about just how the band got back together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Billy was like, I had no interest in it. And Jimmy Chamberlain had no interest in it. And
James
didn't have any real interest in it either. And they just got to talking, and, you know, Chamberlain, the drummer, he's been in and out of the band multiple times because of his drug use.
Yeah, heroin, right? Man. Hell of a drug.
Another underrated drummer. But, you know, they talked about it, and that Billy was very open, like, yeah, you know, going forward, if we decide to put anything out, it's coming out as the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Right. Songwriting credit will be the Smashing Pumpkins, because he did an interview with Lars on Lars's short-lived podcast, It's Electric, and he talks about, like, Lars straight up asks him, he's like, what does Jimmy bring to the band as far as the drummer and songwriting? And mm-hmm. you know, he talks about how Jimmy's real musical, and James will hear, oh, there's a hole in this part of the song, I can fill it with this,
right? Yeah.
And so, and he talked about being more open to the guys' contributions, if
yeah,
you will.
100%. And
I think that's what happened with No Doubt.
To yeah, kind of 100%. Yeah.
To the yeah, featured artist.
Yeah.
That's what happened with No Doubt. Maybe not the songwriting thing, but the whole Gwen's the face of the band. She's the one everybody wants to talk to. Everybody wants to be seen with. And whether she did it on purpose or not, you know, it's just, it's kind of like a couple. They grew apart. And she just, instead of trying to come back and go, okay, let's work to keep this thing together,
yeah,
she decided she wanted to pursue a solo career.
Yeah. And she's done it, you know, really successfully. So.
I mean, that's how I see it. I don't know the inner workings of the band, and haven't really read or seen anything that they talk about it. So
yeah, but they all still talk about each other very affectionately. No one has
yeah.
no one's upset. No, or at least in the press, it doesn't seem that way. So, but this is a great band. I mean, I absolutely love No Doubt. And this is definitely a fun one. It was a left. Oh, God. What?
I was going to say, I'm curious as to what 90s house they're going to be in. Are they going to be in the same house as Bush?
Yeah. Oh, a house divided.
Well, because they were the two front people.
Yeah, Gavin.
Gwen and Gavin were married and have kids together. So,
or as I call them together, Gavin.
Gavin. All right.
But geez.
Well, there you go.
That was lame. Sorry. Anyway, first listen. Let's do this.
First listen. This first listen is actually going to be tied into one of the YouTube channels I'm going to recommend.
Awesome.
Now, you may have heard of this band already because they had a viral YouTube video about 7 years ago when they were young. And it was a cover song. And it's a band of three sisters. And they were actually openers for the Foo Fighters this last tour before Taylor passed away. I can't remember who it was. It's either you or Ryan posted the viral video on my Facebook a long time ago saying, if I ever have daughters, this is the band that they'll.
Yeah, it was one of us.
Yeah.
I remember the video now.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. So this band is called The Warning and the song is called Money. When I heard the song, I was like, there's no way it's those three little girls, but here you go.
Yeah.
There it is. For a bunch of, the oldest can't be more than 25. It's not anything special, I don't think, but they put the, it was either that song or another song that called Choke, which is, as the kids call, a banger. But I just thought, hey, I shout them out with the first listen, knowing where they came from 7-10 years ago. And what put them on Foo Fighters' radar was their cover 7 or 8 years ago of The Pretender when they were little kids. And I just think it's cool that they're still going and they're still doing it. So I think that drum beat is a very Lars Ulrich drum beat. I can hear his influence on the drummer's playing.
Yeah.
She's better than he is, but
yeah. Yeah. She's on the Click. So, no, and that's not a bad, I mean, it's not, it's a very well-produced song. Like I was just thinking, I really like the way the snare sounds and the tones of the drums and, things of that. It might be like another song that I listen to that I go, oh, wow, that's one that I really like. Kind of like you did a first listen of a web channel, some girl, and I went and listened to her stuff, and her covers were great. And then her actual songs were kind of hit or miss. I can't remember her name, but Alexa Mello. That's right. So one of the earlier episodes, but I mean, this kind of falls in that, is it something that I'm going to listen to all the time? Probably not, but
no,
I really appreciate, the fact that there's three women in a band playing music like that, that other women or young girls can even look up to. There's nothing dirty about it. There's no, mm-mm, bad language, and
they're good.
Yeah.
Like, and they're really good.
Like, yeah. So it would be a band that, like, I would like my daughter to kind of listen to, just because, you just don't see as a woman or a young woman, a lot of women out there, all female bands out there. I mean, they're out there, but they're few and far between. So, it's not a bad first. It's not my favorite first listen, but I definitely liked it. It was good.
And the bass player plays with her fingers. She doesn't play with a pick.
Okay, well,
so much respect.
Much respect.
What'd you think, Ryan?
No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I liked the heavy guitars and that. I mean, but it wasn't anything that blew me away, but it was, I guess, kind of to piggyback off Joel, it was respectable. Like, I respect them for what they're doing.
Yeah. And so, like I said, they're what really put them, their first viral video when they were little bitty. I mean, the drummer could barely see over the tom rack. Right, was their cover of Inner Sandman, and they're actually the lead song, the very first song on that Blacklist album that they put out, that Metallica put out for the 30th anniversary of the Black Album.
That's a fun album.
Their cover of Inner Sandman with what's her name? This chick's name. Hold on.
Not Hailstorm.
No. Alisa Cara or something like that. She's singing on the track. I mean, it's a unique take on Inner Sandman. And what everybody plays on that is interesting. But I just think it's really cool to see you go from this little, we're sisters in a band and we got a YouTube channel, to I'm opening up for the Foo Fighters in front of tens of thousands of people.
100%.
So
that's great. Well, man, I'm glad you brought it.
But and I was thinking about that this weekend when I first heard the song, and you just mentioned Hailstorm. Like, there are quite a few heavy acts out there with either a female front person, or they're all female in the band, mm-hmm, they're actually crushing it right now.
Yeah, In This Moment is a female-led heavy metal band. Hailstorm, right, with Lizzie Hale. I mean, you got the classics like Lita Ford, Joan Jett. I mean, they're out there.
Not only can Lizzie Hale sing, she can play too.
Yeah, Like Orianthe. Orianthe can sing and play too, and she's amazing. Yeah. So Lita Ford.
Isn't Orianthe playing with what's his name? Does the guillotine.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
I don't think it's her. I think it's Nita Strauss that's playing with him still.
With
Alice. Alice. But Orianthe played her
She played
with Michael Jackson, and he gave her this like ridiculously jewel encrusted PRS, which is just beautiful. But she then came out with her own music, but there's a video of her with Steve Vai, and they're trading licks left and right. And he's Steve Vai. But the song is great. I mean, but you know, like I said, being a single parent, raising your daughter, it wasn't important to me until she got older, her to have strong female examples that, hey, you want to do pop, you want to do art, you want to write a book, I know there's authors out there that are females, but my point is being able to see a strong female role model in all these different areas was super important. But
it's also important to have, because we all three of us, we all deal with this with, you know, wanting strong female role models for our daughters, right? But it's important to have like a Hailstorm or a Warning. These groups are contemporaries of our children, right?
100%. Like,
not much older than what we are right now.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm glad you brought it. Like I said, I don't hate it. I think it's great. It's not really my cup of tea, but I think it's great to see how far they've come from that video, because I do remember it. But, you know, let us know what you think. I mean, we talked a lot of things today. We talked a lot of music. We talked some houses. I mean, maybe you're the pop house. I think Fisher is probably going to vote for house number 3 today. Just kidding.
You better watch out. You better watch out.
You better watch out.
You two still need to repent. So I'm just saying.
Hey, I don't need to repent. I've already repented. God's already forgiven me. Anyway, we thank you guys so much for listening. We love your feedback. The comments that were made recently on our last episode that was released, I believe 52. So much fun. We love hearing. So follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Apple Music with the podcast. We're on Spotify. I mean, we're all over the place. So go check us out. What, YouTube as well?
Well, YouTube, but we're also on Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts, yeah. So
we made it to the big time.
We're so big. This is episode 57, guys.
Yeah, word.
I know.
57.
57. We also have.
We might actually make it to 100.
Hey, you know what? We're pretty excited because here later this year, I think we're going to have a live broadcast of us at the My Chemical Romance show.
We can do that.
I think it's going to be fun. So,
well, I've got a couple of students who actually watch. Yes. Fifth graders who actually watch our podcast.
I'm sorry.
They keep asking, Mr. Fisher, when are y'all going to do, when are y'all going to live stream? When are y'all going to live stream? So,
well, maybe we'll do that for one of our, like maybe like the 75th episode or something like that.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
We'll have to get some guests on it too.
Definitely. Definitely. So that being said, he's breaking his back because he's been carrying every show the last 2 or 3 shows. So Fisher, why don't you go ahead and finish up with the
I just want you to remember you said that.
I will admit that until I don't admit it.
Right.
What does it say, Madagascar? It's always a yes, unless a no is required. So Fisher, what do you got this week? One channel, obviously. I already
shouted out one channel.
Yeah. What do you got?
The Warnings YouTube channel.
And I promise not to look at Ryan at all this episode.
There you go.
Why did you even have to say anything, jerk?
Yeah. Now, obviously, the Warnings YouTube channel is dominated by their most recent stuff, right? Good thing I have it pulled up and I can't see what you jackasses are doing. But I mean, you have to scroll, but you can definitely find that viral video that we've been talking about, them playing Inner Sandman, them playing The Pretender, things of that nature. So go check them out. They're no joke, man. They they're pretty legit. So check them out. The Warning. And then the second channel I have for us tonight is something that I listen to in my classroom all the time. It's called Dream Hop. And if you like lo-fi music, this is the channel for you. It's what the kids are into nowadays. It's got a bunch of anime type drawing animations in it. And it's just real nice, relaxing, chill music that, like I said, I play in my classroom or I play at night when the kids have been put to bed and it's just me and the wife hanging out. So check it out. Dream Hop.
All right.
You guys are assholes. You know that?
Do you actually watch this when he does this at the end of I mean, he tries to not look.
This is
and
the
then
one
looks.
Part of anytime you put it in the drive. This is the one part of the video that I skip.
Okay.
Because you guys are jerks.
Man. All right. So. Yeah. I got nothing. But man, so
damn right you got nothing.
I got nothing. That's houses, but for real, house 4 coming next week. I think might have a chance to pull one of these guys out of house 1. Not real confident, but
man,
Now, I'm gonna go on record to say,
yeah, fire.
I'm gonna just go on the record to say house 5, house 6, and house 8. Those are the ones that are probably going to pull these guys out of house 1.
5, 6, or 8?
5, 6, or 8 are going to be the ones that these guys have the hardest time with. So we got a couple weeks till we get there. But I tell you what, man, this was fun. No doubt was fun. Man, what was Seal doing in house 3?
Amen, brother.
What was Seal doing in house 3? Fisher, please explain it to us why Seal was in house 3.
Explain it to us like we're 5,
please. But until we get that explanation from our number one fan, keep living, keep loving, keep listening, and as always, keep rocking. Push the buttons real nice and soft. Caress the keyboard as you type in every letter individually. So lovingly and longingly. Man, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing, man. Freaking put a heart monitor on me and all of a sudden I'm going ape shit. That's right. Ape shit. Just enough. He cares just enough not to break the keyboard as he's typing in the password to log into the computer. That's right. What's he doing? Off to the side? We don't know. We can only wonder. That's a really long password. That's what she said. Man, this podcast would suck with just one person. This is lame. One person podcast. We'll be right back. Take it off real slow. Yep. There it is. Go ahead and sit down. Put those headphones on. Hey!
And that, my friends, is how you have an intro.